Thank you for joining us for Forum on WSMI. I'm your host, Sean Balint. Well, education these days is certainly more difficult than ever. Do we go remote? Do we go hybrid? Do we go in person? So many questions, and that analysis changes day to day. A lot of logistical nightmares and hurdles when you try to plan a school year and day-to-day classes around COVID-19. Now we join your regional superintendent of schools, Julie Wallerman, on Forum. Well, just first up, your thoughts on what we're hearing. I mean, we've heard it's been a stressful thing for teachers. Just your thoughts on those, that polling from IEA saying that, you know, a third of their ranks are just about ready to jump into another field. Just your concerns. I mean, I realize polling isn't always accurate, and of course it's easy to say I'm ready to leave, and actually leaving or actually considering it can be two different things, but just your thoughts and concerns.
Well, if that is true, that we have that many looking to jump ship to a different career, that's very concerning. I'm not saying that their research is wrong, but it's not what I'm hearing from the field. That's not what I'm hearing from the teachers that I see on a daily basis that I make contact with, whether it's professional or just personal basis. Are teachers frustrated? Yes. Are they overwhelmed? Yes. Are they tired? Yes. And I just described most of the public. We're all there together. They're really concerned about their kiddos that they're not seeing or that they are seeing or they're missing. And there's just so much going on. We're having teachers teach face-to-face, and they're also having to teach remote. Some of them are doing both at the same time. Some are completely remote. Well, that's a whole new different set of rules, trying to learn how to do that, do it well, and still make those connections. So I hope that we can all take the chance to remind teachers just how important they are. If there's ever been a time to prove that, it is right now. So I know our teachers are tired and overwhelmed. I hope they're not looking for different careers. Like I said before, the ones that I've talked to are in it to win it. It's like, this is a challenge and it's wearing me down, but I'm ready. We're going to do this. We're going to succeed. So I hope there's more of that. And that's what I want to encourage. And I would encourage everyone to, be that encourager, that cheerleader, that appreciative person for our teachers and our administrators and our food people and our bus drivers, everybody in the school, as we've always been short on bus drivers. And now it's extremely so. You get two or three bus drivers sick and you don't have a way to run routes. One of my districts shut down because the food service was shut down. The superintendent was then running the cafeteria one day just because trying to get kids fed. So everybody on the school team is tired and worn out, but they still are giving everything they have for our kids. And so if you get a chance to tell one of them thank you, please do so.
I know, especially in the election, we talked about how different things are between here and Chicago. Now, some of that gets to be the rivalry in the state. But on the other hand, in education, just thinking practically, I can imagine it's a different animal in suburban Chicago and the city of Chicago with those big, massive high schools. And I don't know if they have college-type lecturing halls, but those numbers, I guess there's a potential for them to be skewed because of that, because there is more pressure and you don't have the opportunity maybe to impact your situation as much as you would in a school district. Like in a school district you'd see in ROE3.
It is different. And a lot of it is Chicago public schools versus the rest of the schools north of I-80 versus the rest of the schools south of I-80. We are all doing things very differently. For instance, in Region 3, all of my districts are K-12. And that's not the same. The more north you get, they tend to go elementary districts and then high school districts. And we actually see a lot of elementary districts just south of us some, but it is different. I hope that that's what's skewing that information that's being put forth, or it might go back to the squeaky wheel, gets the grease. So the people that are unhappy are the ones responding, and the others that are too busy trying to figure out what they're doing to serve kids are doing just that instead of talking about it.
The bus driver thing is certainly interesting, and I had some theories, and tell me if you think any of this is spot on. I was thinking that society has changed a little bit. People were more confident with vehicles. I think there was a bigger connection to vehicles. Drive another vehicle, bigger vehicle, a bus, no problem. Are people maybe just intimidated? And of course, things have changed. I remember people would drive the bus 20, 30, 40 years. And, you know, a lot of times it was a homemaker. Back when there were more one-income families, it was a nice side job and people interaction. Is that maybe just society changing has been a big part of the story of the struggles of recruiting bus drivers?
You know, I hadn't thought of that, Sean, but that certainly could be one reason. I will tell you that it is probably, in my opinion, it's a liability question. You see the problem with hauling a bus full of kids, and if something happens, because we know more now when bus accidents do happen, so people are aware of those. I think people are concerned about that. The population on the bus is very different than what it was, say, 40 years ago. 40 years ago, if you lived in the country, you rode the bus to school till you graduated. Now, a lot of our kids are off that bus as soon as they get a license or as soon as their best buddy does. So we see a lot of just younger kids on the bus. Because of the fewer drivers, we're seeing more kids on the bus. So it's not this easy job. It really is a job that takes a lot of effort. You have to have the right training. You have to have the right license. You have to have an annual training for it. There's the drug test every year. There's a lot to being a school bus driver, and there's a lot to do while you're on the road with all the rules of the road and being safe and that. So I think it is a great part-time job. If it's a good gig if you're looking for something like that. But it is one that comes with a lot of responsibility.
And just anything that stands out about what we're trying to get through right now with this rise in cases, and I've seen more schools switch to the remote side of things. It's an incredible challenge, and I guess you've invested a lot of years in this business. You've learned a lot. You've trained a lot. I guess there's just nothing that could really train you for these times. There's no precedent from your predecessors that are living and breathing.
No, other than an education, we're used to rolling and going. We understand that we've always had to figure out the different route, whether it's been a lack of funding or a lack of space. There's just, we are kind of trained in education once you get in there that you're going to have to do things differently to make things be successful. So, and we're very good at picking one another up. And that's, it's a career that there's a lot of people that, colleagues that will surround you that will help you go to the end of your career and make you feel really good about the things you've been able to do.
I guess the great thing is in these times, you know, we mentioned earlier the big school districts and north of I-80 and a lot of people talk about their desire for local control. The fact that we don't have the giant county school board or whatever the case may be, that we have school boards where people can have a conversation about where things are going. It seems like this region is a pretty good conversation for people to get answers in some crazy times.
That's true. We really are blessed with school boards throughout our region and school board members that truly are serving their communities by leading these schools and are listening and looking for what they can do better and to help their teams. And like I said, I have friends up north and I have friends down south, and we all do things a little differently. But for the most part, I think when you choose to be a school board member, you've done so because you have a reason, and that reason's to serve kids.
And no worries if, you know, like I said, I didn't even think about this in advance, but I saw recently over in Nokomis, for instance, they mentioned that there are just some students who just aren't participating. Any thoughts about what you do about the kids who basically are just sitting on the sidelines and they're not even trying? I know it gets hard to know who's trying and who's lost, but I know they were concerned that kids were going to have to repeat a semester. How big of a problem is this virtual truancy business?
I would like to tell you that it's not very big, but I'd be lying if I did. It's huge. It's a problem. We have two truancy officers and three attendance specialists for the five counties, and they are out knocking on doors every day right now, trying to find those kids who are either, you know, chose remote or doing hybrid and they're not checking in, and trying to see, you know, what's the problem? Why are you not checking in? Why are you not doing the work? And, you know, sometimes there's some real heavy duty stuff at home going on, and we're working with that. And the schools are right there with us side by side. We're trying to get these kids and these families back connected to the school. So, you know, once in a while we have that family that chose remote learning because they knew they wouldn't have to fight getting their kid up to go to school every day. But if that's the case, then if they were truant before, they'll be truant again, even if it's remotely. So we're working with those families to make those decisions that maybe it would be a better idea to come back face to face. And for those that can't, we're working with them to make sure they have the skills and all the supplies they need to be able to learn remotely. But it is a problem across the region. I've talked to colleagues in other parts of the state, and they're seeing the same thing. So remote learning, it's as hard on those kids. And if you are a parent of one of those kids, there's a reason most of us choose not to homeschool. So it's hard on us too, just as hard as it is on the teachers. It's a struggle all around, no doubt about it.
And here I go looking back, and I'll shut up because I know I'll get things wrapped up here. But I look back to when Governor Quinn, for some reason, the regional offices were like his big target. And I don't know if he was just thinking about essentially abolishing them and running everything out of ISBE in Springfield. But I have to think in times like these, I know it's been a few years since all of that business I mentioned, but if it seems like this would be one of those classic examples of where the regional superintendent's offices really matter more than ever, and are really a lifeline to some of these schools that don't have layers and layers of administration.
I think you're right. And I will say that Dr. Ayala, our new state superintendent of education, her and her team have certainly looked to the regional offices as an extension of ISBE, and that we're working together. She sees us as part of their team, which we greatly appreciate because we never liked being on the outside. And with our smaller districts, especially down south, we need that extra help. One of the things that we've seen a big growth in is instructional coaches. And our office now has two full-time instructional coaches that are working with districts and their individual teachers to help them become better teachers. And would districts like to be able to do that on their own? Absolutely. But they don't have the time, money, and people to do that. When you can bring the ROE in and one person can serve several schools, it's just more efficient. And whether we're talking about instructional coaches or truancy or standards or whatever, that's when we've really been able to work together and make those things happen for success. We've done a lot of virtual meetings with our leadership and trying to make sure that they have what they need to serve their districts and their communities. And when they need to know something, then they don't have to take their time out of their day to find it. That's my job. And I'm the one that will be making those calls and doing that research to try to help them out. So I think if anything, this really has shown the need for the regional offices, because there just isn't enough people at the state board to serve our school districts. And we certainly don't want our schools feeling like they're out on their own floating islands in situations like this.
Any other thing that's, well, it might help if I turn off mute. Anything else you'd like to point out, or any other points you'd like to make?
I would just like to really commend the schools of our region, everybody on the school team, the teacher, the parapro, the administrator, the bus driver, the custodian, maintenance, food people, bus drivers, everybody has really stepped up to make sure that our kids are getting served. And is it perfect? No, it's not even close. But they really are working hard to see that our kids can find success. And it's something that we're all working on every day, and we're changing and adjusting and finding problems and finding new solutions. So we are really trying. And if you see a school person, you know, let them know that you appreciate their effort. And we're going to keep doing it. We're going to try to keep getting our kids to school every day. And we're going to do so safely, because we want everybody to stay healthy and safe. So, you know, stay out there, keep smiling behind that mask, make sure it's a big one so we can see it in your eyes. And let's all just stay safe and keep going to school.
And maybe I'll throw this in to close, just a little bonus one. Contact tracing. I've seen Tacoma cite this. Towns where you're going to be closer to another city over in another county, like Tacoma's close to Taylorville. So
Right.
people go to Taylorville to get tested, and then the turnaround time on the test getting back to Montgomery County is slow. I imagine there are a few towns that well, that's a concern. I guess that's important for people to think about turnaround time if they're the parent of a student or they're an educator, whatever the case may be. Turnaround time has to be foremost in mind.
Yes, and our health departments are really doing a fabulous job, but they are overwhelmed. As you know, if you read every day the different number of tests that are coming through and probables and all of the contact tracing that has to be done, anyone that has been near a positive within the last 2 days of them showing symptoms, all those people have to be contacted. So, for the most part, when it comes to schools, our parents and students and staff have done a great job of not waiting on those test results to be officially reported, but when they're told, then they're calling the school, and the schools are doing a ton of that contact tracing, and then our health department's following up, and they're doing more of it. So we're really trying to do our best to try to keep everybody safe and keep them healthy.
Well, we'd like to thank Julie Wallerman, the Regional Superintendent of Schools, once again for joining us for another edition of Forum on WSMI. I'm Sean Balint.